Good evening. This is the Pacifica Audit Committee. It is 8:36 in the evening Eastern Time on January 28, 2019. Let's see. Is our secretary here yet? No, I don't see her. So I will call the roll, and then we'll see about a secretary. Adriana Castaneda is not here. Adrienne LaViolette?
Here.
Cheryl Travis?
Here.
Serene Roberts? Not yet. I am here. Elaine Duncan?
Here.
Here. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Jamie Gomez?
Here.
James Sackerton? Not yet. Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Ken Lockfer? No, Ken. Muscula? Not here yet. Paulina Basilio? No. Maxie is here. Wondren is not here. Do you know if she's coming, Maxie?
I'm not sure. I believe she is expected to be on this call, but I don't recall.
Okay, great. Yeah, maybe she'll turn up later like some other people. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are not here, which means 7 are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. Okay. Tonight's, I guess we need a pro tem secretary and a timekeeper. Do I have any volunteers to be secretary tonight?
I'll do the secretary if you'd like.
Carol. That's Carol?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Carol. Timekeepers? And you'll remember it's a very general effort that we ask from the timekeepers. Not
I can keep time.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. All right. On the agenda, we have the main point is updates on the audit, discussion of the points raised in Scott Mitchell's email, which was the email was titled Audit Status, and I forwarded it to everybody at around 1 o'clock Eastern yesterday, Sunday. The points being more or less progress on the audit, where it's positive and where it's less positive. The idea of Rogers and Company reaching out directly to the stations, scheduling a further work on the audit by the auditors, a discussion of how to finish 2017 quickly so that we can move on to fiscal year 2018, and there is a motion that's been presented. Our expectation that the audits will be qualified, and finally, a going concern issue. I guess Scott touched on all those in his email, and we should discuss them. And after that, just action items, other new business, next meeting dates, and adjournment. So can we approve this agenda, or does anyone want to add anything or change anything? Or shall we
so
just
moved.
Move forward? Sorry, Elaine, was that you?
I said so moved.
Okay.
That is approved.
Okay, good. And I see Serene is on. And hello, Serene. And she's the only one who's joined since we took a little call. Okay. So we're expecting our participants, our auditors, to come on in about 5 minutes. I said give us time to, do the roll call on this other business. George apparently will be also joining us tonight after law. So we'll have a full house. Let's see.
You didn't take a vote on the agenda, dear.
Oh, somebody said so moved, and I kind of left it there. You're right. Okay, so do we approve the agenda? I guess I was thinking I heard no objections. So, hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. I hope everyone's had time to read over Scott's emails. At least once. Max is on twice. How does that work? Is that who else is on using Maxie's name?
Oh, Wandrin joined in. I gave her my password. I don't know if everyone, in fact, I worry about George having a passcode to get in on this call. So
you worry that
I worry that they may not have I'm worried that they may not have a passcode, because when we were on our call earlier this afternoon, a few people mentioned they weren't sure they had the right number. They had the passcode.
Well, I sent him one today.
You sent him today, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Right.
So I think they're dutifully waiting till 8:45 before calling in.
Okay.
So let's see. I'm just reading. I'm taking advantage of these few minutes to look over Scott's last email. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like this. He's very careful, you know. He likes to be very precise.
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol. Oh, I see you sent a second version of your mission.
I sent a second version and sent it to him to see if fixed his hesitation.
Okay. Have you heard back from him?
No,
directly?
He responded
to
that too.
He did.
Yeah, he said fine.
He said it's much better than the first version, so he's good.
Oh, great. Okay. And we will read it for our listeners when we get to that point in the agenda. So, Maxie, maybe you want to give us a little update on how things are going in the meetings that you've been having, the finance meetings? Anything that might be relevant to us? Those Monday meetings, right?
Yeah. We had a meeting today. The folks from NETA, NETA, the national office, myself and Wandrin, Scott and his associate.
Sandeep.
Yep, Sandeep. And I also ran into Scott and Sandeep when George was on the call as well. When George was in Washington, D.C., I went and visited the station and ran into those three at the station. So Sandeep, George, and Scott. So not a whole lot to report in terms of those meetings. Obviously, we were on a finance call with some of the business managers, so we were just talking about issues relevant to missing material for the audit and things that needed to be captured. But I really think, in all honesty, I think once Scott gets on this call and we go through some of the results of our meeting today with NETA, I think we've come up with something consistent with the original email that was forwarded regarding how we should proceed, and probably taking it a step further. So I don't want to say too much until Scott gets on, because I think it's probably important for him to be able to articulate it in precise language, as you said earlier, so that everyone on the call is clear how we think we should move forward.
Okay.
I'm not sure if
Larry
and or George will join us, but yeah, they should also be able to just speak to that.
Okay, well, I see that Scott hasn't joined us. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, and then that might be, is that George who just signed on?
Yep, this is George Walter from NETA.
Yep, hi George. Okay.
So between Scott, George, and Wandrin, I think you've got the whole cast of folks who can speak pretty intimately about where we are with the audit and how we move forward.
Matthew, so you were going to have to go to another meeting?
No, I'm good. The other meeting was canceled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Scott, you may have heard those Maxie's last words where he said that you could probably best address what you all discussed today about the audit and improving, you know, the way it's coming about. So
sure.
Can I give you the floor? Great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess just to give a little bit of an update in terms of the status, we did reach out to, I think, at least one person at one station that we had a contact for just to directly follow up with questions regarding internal control type follow-up things. George and his group did send a number of things, I think, on Friday, including, I think, roughly 60 journal entries, represented about 300 lines in a new trial balance. So I guess some of the things that came out of his cleanup efforts. And then I did circulate a PVC list this morning, just kind of showing where we are with that original request, what still remains open, and then the open items that have been generated over the last couple of weeks of audit field work. We had a 1 o'clock call today with George and several people from, I say NETA, NETA, N-E-T-A, but NETA, and then Maxine Wondren and Rosso on that call. And so I think we made a lot of progress, at least just in terms of we were fairly focused on the PVC list, and I tried to draw everyone's attention to, you know, the big items that were still open and kind of get some clarity as far as who needed to gather what, whether it was the national office or whether it was the individual stations. I think some of the bigger items were coming from the national office, and so I think it's a little bit bigger. Either folks are have already sent them to NETA, or they've somehow gotten buried in some things. So there's a little bit of going back and clarifying maybe what we think we should already have. And then there were a number of things that I think everybody had a little clearer idea of what we needed. And then I think you've circulated the email. So that's where we are with the audit. So I think what kind of I sent an email giving kind of a status update. I sent it Friday, I think, afternoon, and maybe got distributed to everyone yesterday. But I tried to give a status update, like we said we would do after last Monday's call, given where we were with things. We've concluded 3 weeks in January of field work / attempted field work. We spent some time in October as well. And so, you know, when I originally got on board and was proposing on this audit and looking at least just the financial information and, of course, just straightforward what you guys have, what it would take to get through that audit, my best guess would be that it would be 4 weeks of field work. Obviously, that doesn't factor in some of the delays, the complications, the other issues that the organization is dealing with as a whole. And so given the fact that we've kind of expended about 6 weeks of fieldwork effort, and we are probably, I would say, 40% where we should be with the audit, and the fact that through George's group and Pacifica National and the folks at the various stations who've been very cooperative and doing the best they can, we've basically spent 5 months at this point to get to where we are with what we've received and what still remains open. So as Maxie mentioned, I had an opportunity to meet with Maxie and George and Eileen in person when we were at the DC station on Wednesday. And so just as we're all kind of talking about the status of the audit and how to proceed, I felt like it was my responsibility as the auditor to just point out maybe an option to the audit that maybe most people don't think about, or maybe you don't want to think about, but that would be the option. Referencing back to the 16 audit and the fact that you did get a qualified opinion on that report,
And I think I enumerated in my email over the weekend as to what all that scope limitation involved. So when you look at the 17 audit, it sounds like we collectively, mostly Pacifica, has made some progress with respect to the pension obligation and are maybe a little bit closer to getting that wrapped up and a liability that can be audited. But the other thing that your prior auditor had commented on in his audit opinion was just a lack of support or the completeness of support related to certain key areas in the audit. And because of those two concepts, he qualified the opinion due to a scope limitation. So part of the discussion Wednesday and the ones that have taken place since, just as I've kind of fielded questions about that, we can certainly go forward with the audit and everybody can continue to try to pull together the support so that we can go through our process and do our test work and tie it to support and basically kick the tires, if you will, and make sure that everything is what it should be. I'm just a little concerned at this point. After 5 months, I would hate to spend probably 2-3 more months going through this process and wrapping up an audit, and then really ultimately there is the potential that we could come to the same qualified opinion that you received last year. And so the other option would be is that we could qualify or disclaim an opinion at this point based on where we are with things. We still need to kind of pursue some of the open items because at this point, essentially, we know that the internal control environment is what it is, which definitely needs some work, and I know you guys are working on that for FY19. But there's a lot of some of the support items that we've asked for, things that we have on our PVC request list that we would continue to have to pursue for the sake of pulling together the financial statements, trying to make sure that the footnote disclosures are there and so forth. So essentially the end product would be audited financial statements, if you will, but obviously the opinion would not be a clean, unqualified opinion. And it would go into some detail about our limitations on why we weren't able to get the necessary comfort level to provide an unqualified or clean opinion. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand that it's just drop the pencils and we're done next week. There's still a process that we would have to go through if that's an option that you guys want to pursue. One of the things that I had also circulated in that email was I wanted to also draw attention in the prior year audit to the fact that there was a going concern emphasis of matter. Just as a point of clarification, you can have an unqualified or clean audit opinion and still have an emphasis of matter related to an entity's going concern. And what a going concern means for us in the audit world is every audit client that we have, because keep in mind, an audit report and an audit opinion is essentially an insurance policy that we're saying to the readers of the financial statements that we have gone through our standard, generally accepted auditing standards and principles and applied this to the audit, and we have determined that the numbers are materially correct. And so that way, a user of the financial statements can gain some comfort level in seeing that they have been audited. When you have a scope limitation or when you have a disclaimer, basically the reader of the financial statements, it's kind of saying, reader, beware. We were not able to ascertain that things are, you know, basically saying we don't know what we don't know. We tested what we tried to test. We tested what we could test. But there are some numbers in the financial statements that will follow that may or may not be materially correct due to, and then we would expound on the limitations that we encountered. So, regardless of whether it's clean opinion or not clean opinion, the going concern is something that auditors have to evaluate in every audit. And essentially we're saying that the entity can continue to run in business and will be in business 12 months after the date of our audit report. So again, last year's audit, your prior auditor had some concern based on the financial numbers and based on the direction of the way some certain things were going. as to whether or not, you know, he's basically drawing attention to this emphasis of matter for the readers of the financials to basically say, here are the facts and circumstances. Their ability to continue 12 months from the date of this report may be questionable. And it refers to the footnote in the back where it talks about going concern. And then that footnote is typically where we would highlight management's plans, what management has in place to improve the situation that the organization's in. And then it really becomes up to the reader of the financial statements to determine if they feel comfortable or not with where the organization will be in 12 months. So there are two separate things. I didn't want to confuse that for you. If we proceed with the audit and trying to, you know, get it as clean as possible in terms of following up, getting support, hoping that that support supports the numbers that it needs to support. I know I'm using support a lot. But regardless of whether we do that or we kind of draw the line in the sand and say, hey, we're going to go with what we have right now, and even though that may result in a scope or a disclaimer, we still have to evaluate your ability to continue as a going concern. That's a totally separate issue. And based on the numbers that you have right now, a large net deficit, that's definitely a red flag. Based on the fact that you have quite a lot of debt, you have most of your assets are pledged to support that debt. The fact that you've had a lot of turnover in recent years at the executive level, the fact, you know, basically everything that we've been talking about for a number of months, and I know I don't need to, you know, belabor the point by talking to you about it because you guys have definitely been living it. But everything that you've kind of been putting in place for FY19, the fact that Maxie's on board, the fact that George and his group are on board, the fact that that wasn't there in previous years and probably needed in previous years is part of the reason that we're really kind of looking at 17 and seeing where it is and where it will go. So that was one of the things I wanted to point out in the email, that if you guys have not, as management or as the board or the audit committee, if you guys haven't already devised or really started thinking about what your response to the going concern and what management's plans would be, I definitely wanted to bring that to your attention, because we will need your input for the sake of drafting that footnote that will go into the financial statement.
This is Maxie,
if I may,
on the debt.
Sure.
I'm sorry, who is
Maxie? Maxie.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
To be on the debt. I certainly don't want to interrupt Scott's train of thought, because he's hitting on some, I think, extremely useful points. But I know that George and I were both on a call this week, or last week, I should say, with CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And I think George can probably, if you have a good recollection, George, and took good notes, you probably have a recollection of some of the concerns or opinions expressed by the folks at CPB that we discussed our plans moving forward with NET's acquisition, a vision plan that I put forth, and other items that we communicated to CPB that speak, in some respects, I would imagine, to the notes that you would need for your audit. But I'll just lay that out there and let you continue, and if George wants to contribute, that'll work as well.
Sure.
Yeah. I can kind of recap that CPB call if you like.
That would be great.
Should we wait till Scott finishes, or Scott, is it appropriate to talk about that now?
I'm flexible, whatever works for you guys.
Is that open session?
I'm sorry? This is an open session, yes.
Is that okay to discuss an open session, or should we wait till closed session?
I don't see a problem discussing it.
What I would say is all public record, so I wouldn't see a concern about that. Just briefly on that, it was a good call. They haven't had substantive contact with Pacifica for about 4 years, And so it was good to make contact, and I knew one of the parties going into it who was familiar with my work from other stations, and my kind of and Maxie's main concern is what is the path back, and so there were deficiencies from 2012 that were noted, and they were significant, and we still owe some money back to them for grants that they pulled back because of misreporting at the time. And so they were going to send their report, which the Inspector General report is available, and the management finding report they're going to send to Maxie, and so with that we can determine what I believe is an unrecorded liability, but that needs to be verified and get that on the books, and B, the initial pathway back. And so part of that is having timely audits so that they can calculate our non-federal financial support, which is a shorthand called NFFS. And so the attractive thing about moving the FY18 audit forward, if we can get our credentials with CPB enough so that Maxie and I and any other grant administrators, as well as the chair of the board, can get credentials. We can report on FY18 audited results, and there's no grant necessarily, but that report would be used to if everything else is squared away to determine the FY20 grants. So there's many reasons to get that 18 done so we can catch this reporting window in their annual financial report. And there's a significant amount of non-compliance in the Communications Act and other disclosures that they require to be a qualified station. And so that will be something that we need to review on a station-by-station level. And the compliance is not difficult, but it can't be ignored, and it can't be finessed with their own definitions of terms. They're pretty clear on what they need, and so it'd be my hopes that we can move this process forward in a manner that we can at least open the door for FY20. There's no guarantee, but that's that would be the only way to get in line for FY20 is to have a FY18 report in full compliance throughout the organization.
This is Maxie again, if I may. The letter was sent to me from CPB. I am in receipt of it. I got it I think it was either Friday or today. I think it was Friday. But it's dated March 28, 2013, addressed to Summer Reese, at the time the interim executive director, and lays out all the dynamics, what got us into trouble and what we need to do to get out of trouble, for lack of a better and more, detailed explanation. What is abundantly clear is that there were overpayments to all five stations based on the financial reporting that was conducted that year. And so all five stations were problematic in that effort.
There's also, in terms of the compliance matters, just to piggyback off of what George said, the way we resolve that is to give evidence, tangible evidence, that we are addressing those areas of noncompliance. And I don't think it's insurmountable. I think part of it is just having NETA in our, in partnership with NETA, will get us through some of those issues, but there are others. And things that are the folks who are involved in compliance matters for the organization, John Almala and others, also involved in that process. And the last thing I'll say is just a side footnote. Not only was it great that George and, of course, NETA have great relations with CPB, but two out of the three participants on the call from CPB are people that I've been in close contact with over the years, know very well, and have benefited from them being subjected to my proposals and funding resulting in those relationships. Not that it's guaranteed this time around, but I say all that to say that I think, you know, a lot of their questioning, and I'll explain more of this when we have the PNB meeting on Thursday, but a lot of their questioning was about what is our strategy moving forward, and are we in a position to be compliant moving forward? And I feel the combination of our plans, as well as the pieces we put in place, speak well to that. And so that's where we are right now.
Well, that is a great. That's really pretty good news, and it's certainly new news for us, I think. You know, we've been hoping to get back with the CPB for a long time, but I'm not sure we really knew where to go, and it sounds like you've made a lot of progress with that. Let's see.
Scott, I don't want to, like I said, I didn't want to stop Scott midstream. If he has other things he should add that will satisfy the thirst of this committee for news about the audit, I think he should continue. But I wanted to interrupt
sure.
at that point because I just thought it was important for you to get some context.
No, I agree. That's good information and important information. The only other thing I would say is if you guys go the route of kind of moving forward on the 18 audit sooner than later, then there are still certain things that we'll have to nail down for 17 just as it relates to 18 being an opening balance. But other than that, I would just say if there are any questions, I certainly can comment on what my perception of the pros and the cons of what we've been talking about in terms of the audit and what that would look like.
Yeah, me to the stack. Anybody else? Yeah, okay, my questions would be, Scott, if we decide to move more towards the 2018 audit, what would that mean in practice for us? Let me ask one thing specifically. I think one thing I understood was that we still have to get the numbers right. You know, we still have to reconcile things with the bank statements and with all the other information. So we would still know our best numbers minus what all our liabilities might be. We just might not spend a lot of time digging back into files to find documentation that we may or may not have available at all. Would that be one of the biggest?
Sure. I think in terms of the cash, I mean, cash definitely needs to be right regardless of what we're doing, or at least there needs to be a proper reconciliation. And I think from the emails with George on Friday and conversations earlier today, I think that NETA has more or less gotten the cash items reconciled. I think where they've run into some obstacles with a station or two, I think they've been able to take the information they have and be able to kind of get those reconciliations in order. So I think that's been addressed. I think, of course, we just would need to test it now that we've just received it. I think with the internal intercompany, I think those balances were something that George and his group were also looking into. And I believe that's also been
cleaned up. So again, we would just need to kind of go behind and apply our audit procedures to that. Essentially, what we would do is the requests that we have open related to the audit, we would more or less be looking to you guys to say, yes, we have this. No, we don't. No, we're not going to expend any more effort looking for it. And then we would just have to draw our conclusions, test what we have, draw our conclusions in terms of, you know, how detrimental the open items are. That would probably make the difference between a scope limitation and a disclaimer. A disclaimer is slightly more severe than a scope limitation.
Okay.
We would then shift into the mode, once we've done what I just described, we'd shift into the mode of basically pulling together the financial data into the appropriate financial statement and footnote format and make sure that we had those as complete as possible. So to the extent that some of the items on our request list relate to footnotes and just getting the information about those, like as an example, just getting the debt agreement that you have in place, making sure that we've got the terms correctly reflected in the footnote, just as an example. And similar other footnotes, we'd have to go through a similar process. And then it would just be a matter of making sure that everything went through all the levels of review that it needs to go through on our end as a firm. And then what we would do is it would kind of put us at the point of an audit where we'd be sending drafts to Maxie and George for them to basically review and approve. And then we would send rep letters and basically finalize the audit with that less than unqualified opinion. A lot of the things, as I mentioned, like, for example, we've been kind of trying to track down contact information for the signers of all the bank statements. We would need to go ahead and make sure that we have those and get our confirmation process going. One of the things that's maybe hindered that a little bit is that years and years ago, we used to be able to send paper confirms to the banks and they would reply to those now. And it's probably been a good 10 years or more, so it's not a new process, but banks basically will not respond to confirms that way. They want to see them electronically. And part of what we've been getting through is who are all the signers for all the bank accounts and getting their names and contacts is everything sort of initiated via email in that process. So the good news is by going forward with that as part of wrapping up 17, that would basically give us something to hang our hat on for the opening balances of 18. And then essentially once we've issued the 17 audited financial statements, then, you know, once you guys give us the word that you're ready, then we would start the same process that we've been going through for the last few months with the 18 audit.
Let me ask you something. Now that you guys, you and George, or Rogers and Nita, have been with us for these months and know us a lot better, do you think you would pursue a different strategy or try to direct Pacifica in some other way for preparing for the audit or for, you know, getting everything you guys need?
Well, I think that the 18 audit would have some advantages over the 17 audit because I know that particularly George's firm, his firm is, you know, obviously that much more entrenched and know who's who at the stations, and they're already starting to take over the accounting function for, I think, a number of the stations. So I think just having that familiarity that they have now 5-6 months later will certainly help shorten the process. I think from my perspective, I mean, we would prepare a PBC list for the 18 audit when we have what looks like a final trial balance or a trial balance you are ready for us to start with. But as a practical matter, our request list from 17 for the most part is going to roll forward and be a very similar request list for 18. So I would say probably the lessons that I've learned from it is I'm probably going to hold my ground a little bit stronger that we have complete request items ready for us to start. So that might be waiting a lot longer. So we actually dive in so that when we dive in, it's not one of the start-stop scenarios. The other thing, which I think, you know, kind of brought about my conversation with you and George earlier in the week, I think while it's really good to have George as a point of contact and ETA as a point of contact for the audit, I think I would probably jump into following up with the stations directly maybe a little bit sooner, just because I know having a better understanding of what everybody's been dealing with above and beyond the audit, that hopefully that would maybe kind of help get us the answers we need a little bit quicker once we're kind of in the throes of field work. But beyond that, I know we're all very optimistic about where 19 will be in terms of improving the process, the internal controls and the accounting process and so forth, but I don't know, and George can comment on this, or anybody on this call can comment, I guess, but I'm not sure what the status of 18's accounting is at this point. I know that, and I say that just because, you know, Maxi came on in October, so essentially the first of the current fiscal year. So FY18, if you will, kind of progressed very similar to FY17 in terms of who's handling the accounting, some of the struggles and the obstacles that everybody at Pacifica and the various stations of Pacifica encountered. So I'm probably not going to be naive and think that, you know, 18 is in better shape. I'll just have a little bit different strategy for trying to circumvent some of the roadblocks.
Okay. I have another question, but I want to give other people a chance. Okay. Go ahead. Who is that?
Oh, yeah, this is George. Yeah, you asked about what we might do different, and Scott is spot on with his observations, and I've got a better sense of strengths and weaknesses throughout the organization. And in terms of cash, I'm 99.9% sure that cash we've put forth is pretty bulletproof and good to go. And so I want to get some of my controllers and accountants working on the three divisions, the two stations and national office, based on what I think those ending numbers are. There's a possibility that something might change there, and if so, we can adjust. But from what I've seen, I'm pretty confident that those reconciliations haven't been done. And so I want to get people going on those right away. And further, with the other stations, KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT, and archives, give them what I have as their final reconciliations so that they can start with a fresh one in October with that ending balance and all the adjustments cleaned up. Many of these accounts, they had attempted a reconciliation, but the adjustments weren't made. And so there was I made over 60 entries in between cash and intercompany and a few of the liability accounts. So there's 300 lines of entry just to clean up things that really should be done as part of the normal course of business. So I'm going to give those folks a good starting point so they can review their the bank recs that they've done to the extent that they've done them, and have them rework it based on those beginning numbers and outstanding checks and other items. So I would hope to get to a clean cash balance much quicker than we did here. We were still chasing bank statements into last week, and that's really not acceptable. Same thing with the intercompany. We had to do a lot of work on that and really didn't get help from the divisions. And so me and a controller pretty much dug through that and got that squared away for year end. So they've got a good starting point there. And I would probably still have our people just do the intercompany because they crossing division, sometimes the communication isn't real strong. So I would expect we would start off with two major headache areas cleaned up much sooner, and that's for 18. But based on the vacancies starting last April, between April and May, two key people went out. I'm expecting there's some holes. Now, we did backfill a lot of that. We had Anita, accountant, doing the payroll entries, which hadn't been getting made consistently for 17 or 18. So in some respects, I know we're caught up. So I'm going to have them move forward on this regardless of 17. There's no reason to wait. And so we'll be in much better shape for 18, at least to see and address any problems such as they crop up.
Great. It just really feels like things are moving, as you guys are saying. One question, though, is you two have been on these Monday calls where I guess the business managers and general managers participate, right? There are people from all the units on those calls?
Those calls are on Wednesdays. I'm sorry. The Monday call is strictly between the national office and NETA, and Scott and his team have been involved in a few of those calls as well. But that's okay. The difference. We have the Monday call to set up what we're going to do on Wednesday with the business managers and general managers.
Okay. Then on the Wednesday calls, does George participate there, or Larry, or anybody?
Yes. The whole NETA is fully represented, as is the national office.
Okay, because I'm just thinking. And does Scott hasn't been on those calls then, I guess. Is that right? Because I'm just thinking, you know, if we're talking about trying to connect with the units sort of sooner and, you know, get those contacts, it sounds like you probably have the contact on that meeting, in those meetings on Wednesday, and maybe a rapport and familiarity is being developed somehow between Pacific and NETA, at least, and maybe that would help with communication and with getting what we need. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, this is Maxie. I'll quickly respond and then yield to Scott, because obviously he's the one who we're going to have contact the station reps directly. The rapport between the station folk and the folks at NETA has been firmly established. There's no loss of awareness of who's who, and there's clearly relationships there. Scott will be provided with all of the contact information he needs for everyone at every unit so that he can go directly to the source and get what he feels he needs. There are two fundamental issues I've brought up in past meetings, either on this audit committee call, finance committee call, or on the board call, that are at issue with the organization. One is, quite frankly, an issue of competence. On some occasions, we have folks who either aren't familiar with the terminology being used by the folks at NETA, or they're just not able to understand how to pull the right material. And we've had some communication issues, and that hopefully, I think we've smoothed some of that out. It was just getting our business managers to understand exactly what was being asked of them. And as I think George would agree, them acknowledging when they don't have something. And that was one of the issues we had back in the day, that people were, I think, either ashamed to acknowledge that they didn't have it or didn't know that it was okay to say they didn't have it. And so we've moved past, I think, those two issues. But having Scott contact the folks directly, I think, is a good thing. And I think everybody on the call, from NIDA, from the national office, agree with that.
Great.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Scott.
I would just say that I'm happy to be on those calls. I think that it probably does not make sense for me to be on all of those calls. I think what I would do is when we get into whether it's finalizing the 17 audit or whether we're into the 18 audit, you know, we'll obviously be reaching out to these people individually. I think we'll be able to develop the report in that manner. I'm sure there's a lot of things being discussed on those Wednesday's calls that I don't necessarily need to be an audience to, and probably it might even hinder the process. If I am, it might take the focus more away from what you guys are trying to accomplish and make it more about the audit than it needs to be. So what I would say is let us reach out and contact the people individually and go forward as we need to. And then maybe as we get into more into the finalization of 17's audit, or we get into more of the meat of the matters in the 18 audit, you know, knowing that those calls are there and knowing that maybe we could be invited to them on an as needed basis, that might be the better option, I think.
That makes sense. Okay, this is very helpful.
Carol for the staff.
Go ahead, Carol.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but if it is, I'd like to move the most recent version of the motion that was sent out, if it is appropriate now. I will wait until you tell me.
Let's see. Yeah, I think if I don't see why it isn't, why it wouldn't be. I get the sense that we still need to sort of confirm or explicitly state if we would like to approach things that way, to finish up 2017 sooner and move on to 2018. I think it sounded like we need to actually say that. And if I'm understanding things correctly, this motion is meant to give support to that idea. Is that right, Carol? Is that how you see this?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's a fine time to deal with it. I can read it aloud, or if somebody else would like to read it. Carol, maybe you want to read it if you wrote it. I don't know.
I can read it, because then I'll make sure we got the right version.
Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute. Where is the right version? Wait a minute. I pulled up the wrong version, I think. Maybe you've got the right version.
I think I do.
Okay.
Well, it's the last one you sent in an email.
It was
anyway.
The last one I sent, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll just read it then.
Okay.
Whereas, it's a bit lengthy, whereas the 2017 audit is overdue and way past the extended deadline of November 30th, 2018, and whereas the 2017 audit is being stalled because of unacceptably slow responses to requests for information made by our audit firm, Rogers & Company, as well as our pension plan administrator, and whereas the issues of the 2017 audit have similar problematic issues as those encountered in the 2016 2015 audit, and whereas, because of those complex issues that cannot be remedied within a reasonable time, and whereas, the 2017 audit will reflect negative fiscal challenges that were not remedied until the Empire State Realty Trust settlement in 2018, and whereas we have the opportunity to straighten out financial procedures so that the 2018 audit may be less deficient and completed in a timely fashion, and whereas completing the 2017 audit and rapidly moving on to the 2018 audit, while simultaneously working on improving our financial procedures, we should also be on time with the 2019 audit, which will hopefully show a much better financial outlook for Pacifica with fewer material deficiencies. And whereas delays in the completion of the 2017 audit also delay regaining Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, as well as major donor and grant income, and threaten our nonprofit status. Therefore, the audit committee concludes that among the options explained by Rogers and Company, the one to move to complete the 2017 audit as soon as possible, despite some deficiencies, so that the 2018 audit can be started sooner to try and file it on time, comma, is the best option. And further, the audit committee urges Pacifica management to pay any monies owed to Rogers and Company as soon as possible. And further, as the lack of response to requests for information from our audit firm and pension plan administrator are causing unacceptable delays in the audit process and increasing the costs of the audit, that the ED instruct every general manager to immediately place responding to information requested by our audit firm and pension plan administrator, parenthesis, as the completion of the pension plan audit is linked to the completion of the audit, in parentheses, as top priorities, and further, that the audit committee requests that the executive director remain in close touch with our audit firm and provide to the audit committee a weekly progress report showing significantly increased response to requests for information from all units and the national office. The end.
I captured your grammatical changes.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate that.
All right. I don't know if that's, I think the point of this is that, you know, we may want to show that the audit committee understands this concept and is supporting it. Just to provide that little boost maybe to the auditors and to everybody who's working here on this project.
This is Carol. May I say something also, Waylon?
Go ahead, Carol.
It's making a choice, too, that really Rogers gave us a choice, and we're choosing one of them. That is to move more quickly, understanding that it will give us a qualified audit, but to focus on getting a timely 2018 audit in place rather than going longer and still probably, although they couldn't say for sure, but it would cost a lot more and probably still have a qualified audit. So we're making a choice here. Yeah.
Max, if I could interrupt, if it's appropriate.
Maxie, should Scott go?
I think Scott's about to say what I was going to say, because I think articulating that the auditors are giving us a choice is a bit problematic. I think that's probably what Scott's going to say. something close to it.
Well, that, and this is a point of the clarification. I mean, one of the things about Rogers and Company, and I'll just refer back to our proposal because we do stand by it. The fee that was quoted for 17 is the fee. We're not going to extra bill. So if for any reason that might persuade somebody to vote one way or the other, I just wanted to clarify that, you know, when I say that pursuing a lot of time and energy and money, that's really, I think, internally for you guys. I mean, the audit fee is what was quoted in the proposal. That's not going to change regardless of which direction you choose to proceed with the audit. And then the other thing I was just going to say, I just happen to be online, and it looks like Adrienne has an email out to everyone that she's been trying to get through and seems to have been muted or something, that she has questions.
Hello.
That's good. Well, while we get her on, can I make a statement regarding some of the things that were included in the motion that I just want to provide a little context for?
Yeah.
I think it's very important that we refrain from language that suggests that the business managers at our units are holding back information or not acting in a timely manner because of some unwillingness to cooperate. I don't think that's at all what I would characterize what's going on. And I don't think anyone from NETA or the national office would articulate that either. As I said earlier, I think we've had some communication issues, and I also think some of the terminology is foreign to our business managers. And that is why I think we have experienced many of the delays that we've had. The other thing is that there is a process that George goes through, where it's a bit more time-consuming in terms of getting information from the stations to the auditors. I'm not saying it's an improper technique, but it does add time to the process. And so, again, I just want to make sure we're careful not to articulate something that suggests that we've got actors who are not cooperating, because I think that's an improper statement.
Carol, for the staff.
Actually, I think Adrienne has been trying to get on for a long time, and she was somehow muted, and I think I've gotten her back now. Adrienne Laviolette,
can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Yeah, your mic was drained out. I don't know what was wrong, but
No problem. Thank you. I just had a quick question for Scott. He said that there are realistically two designations that his firm could give to the audit, one that's less favorable than the other, and I forget. I think one was called disclaimer and the other was something else. But what are the practical consequences of an audit with a disclaimer versus the other kind? I forget the name again. And how do we know if we've reached the threshold to qualify for the less severe of the two designations?
So that's a good question. It's a very relevant question because it really speaks to, I think, the disadvantages of maybe not pursuing getting all of the support and the complete documentation in an effort to support an unqualified opinion. So when everybody refers to a clean audit opinion, that's called an unqualified opinion. That basically says we performed our audit, the numbers that are following in the audited financial statements are materially correct, and basically gives the users and the readers of the financial statements comfort that the numbers, as I said, are materially correct. When you run into situations like last year, be quite honest, and, you know, it really comes down to when you get into qualifying the opinion. So when you qualify the opinion in a very generic sense, that's just anything that isn't unqualified or clean, and it can run the gamut. You can have disclaimers. You can have an adverse opinion. You can have scope limitations. So last year's auditor, for example, really made –
a direct connection between the fact that the pension plan and the liability related to the pension plan was undeterminable at that point in time that he issued the financial. So he basically, I think, probably was a little generous, in my opinion, in his judgment of giving you a scope limitation and not a disclaimer or worse. Because, and I say that because the factors that come into it are, you know, you have material weaknesses throughout your internal control environment. So that has some significant audit implications. You have this very potentially large liability that cannot be determined. That's what he kind of hung his hat on for the scope limitation. In other words, when I read his report, it sort of implies most of the numbers are good, but this really hung us up, and we can't say for sure that that number's correct, so we're giving a scope limitation. Then he went on to proceed to identify some other areas where support was lacking. It really kind of depends on where we go forward with this. As I mentioned, we're going to continue to have to pursue some of the open items just to be able to get where we need to get to issue an opinion. If we get to a point where people are like, this is all I have, I can't provide anymore, and that's perfectly understandable, and I agree with what Maxie said. I think from my sense, and I'm not as close to the stations as Nita or Maxie, but, you know, for example, when we did our revenue and expense sampling, we got responses much quicker than I anticipated, and I really do think everybody at the stations are trying to provide the support and give us what we need for the audit, but I do think sometimes just because of what's been going on for the last few years, things just weren't maintained in the manner that they needed, and, you know, they can't provide what maybe doesn't exist, as well as the other aspects of that that Maxie alluded to. But basically, it's a judgment at the end when we get to that point where it's like we've got all we can get. Now, how do we as auditors judgmentally feel about what's been provided, and how extensive are the things that maybe are not complete in terms of the support that was provided? And if it's a broader systemic issue, or it's hitting on some more than one major audit area, then those are usually the factors that would put you into the more, as I refer to it, severe opinion of a disclaimer versus a scope limitation. In terms of the implications of that between a scope and a disclaimer, I mean, there are implications to not having a clean or unqualified opinion. I mean, in some organizations, it can affect donor contributions. Some people look at audited financial statements of the organizations that they choose to contribute to, and they look at that to see that an audit's being done, it's being done timely, it's a clean audit opinion. It gives them some comfort that they're giving money to a good cause and that the cause is being, you know, that money is actually making it to that cause and furthering that cause. Some people may look at that a lot more black and white than others, and when they see something less than a clean opinion, it might give them a moment to pause and think about whether or not they maybe want to send their donations to another charitable organization rather than Pacifica, for example. As Maxie talked about, you know, it can definitely have implications on grant funding and applying for grants for very similar reasons. And I think you guys have already experienced that over the last few years with the CPB discussion that took place. In terms of, I mean, it really is the general public's perception of scope limitation versus disclaimer. It's kind of shades of gray. I would say that the average person who may be making a charitable donation is not as well versed in the different aspects or different qualifications that go with an audit opinion. So they tend to look at clean versus not clean, and then they make a decision based on that. I don't know if they really kind of go down the other path as to, well, this isn't clean, but it's not as severe as this or whatnot. The determination about that ultimately will come, you know, as we proceed in wrapping up the 17 audit and see the quality of what we're able to get and what remains open when we all kind of decide we're at that point where it's time to draw it to a close and Pacifica and Nita are not going to pursue additional efforts in getting support that may not exist. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yes,